Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. Hope you guys are having a great day. Today is Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025, and the world is on fire. I hope you guys are aware of this. But thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Thank you for sharing, rating, subscribing, commenting, supporting me in any way that you can. A special shout out to our lovely supporters over on Patreon who literally do make this happen. It actually keeps the podcast on Audio Boom. So thank you so much for your support, which goes directly into making this show possible and also accessible for so many other people around the world, whoever gets a hold of it, whenever they get a hold of it. Please, again, whenever you see it, rate it, throw a comment on it, something on your platform. Because what it does is it kind of boosts the algorithm saying, hey, there's engagement here. Not only are people listening, but they're actually having things to say back to the creator. That really does help elevate the overall viewability and discoverability of the podcast. So thank you for anyone who's done that. Thank you for those who continue to do that. I appreciate you. And like I said, the world's on fire, man. It's crazy. I'm going to hit it real quick. Did anybody else notice? Because I didn't notice right away because I was not awake, obviously. But anybody hear about the story about how basically a bunch of internet services and like internet-based services just turned off this past week? I don't know if anybody else caught it because it didn't really make a big fuss in the news. Only reason I knew about it was because I saw a couple of second blurb about it on CNN one day. A bunch of stuff just turned off, someone basically turned off the spigot on the internet and it all just went bye-bye, over the weekend. Some people were noticing some really weird and funky, outages or, how do I put this? Just bizarre fluctuations in their internet's, overall reliability, I guess is the way we put it. And then it just, at some point, some of this stuff just turned off. And it was very interesting to see that, almost nobody said anything about it. And like I said, I think if I had been asleep during that 2 minutes when they mentioned it on CNN, I probably wouldn't have heard about it again either. I was noticing some weird fluctuations when I would go to, use a search browser, or if I was going to pay a credit card bill, which is one thing I did this past weekend. When I was doing online gaming with the friends, I noticed there were some weird spikes and stutters and, menus would take forever to load. Just bizarre things. But I was maybe it's our router, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, right? And it could still be the router, who knows. But then I found out that was a big part of it too. It was there's a big drop in service providers just everywhere. One of the biggest hits that happened was Amazon's web services. So AWS took a big hit. And since a lot of people, it's fairly ubiquitous in just anybody who's doing anything on the internet, seems like they kind of run it all through Amazon. So when that went to shit, everything went to shit. And it's one of those things that makes you think, I know, again, people are like, why are you always harping on this? Well, because shit like this happens, right? You put so much stock in running things through automated systems and putting everything on the internet. AI aside, but just pumping everything as far as your customer service portals purely through the internet and having all those processes automated is not a good idea. Because if somebody pulls the plug on this shit, the world grinds to a halt. I mean, this didn't affect just storefronts and stuff like that. It was affecting internet systems that are, that are relied upon by major manufacturing, by transportation. Air traffic controls was one of the things that ended up being affected in some areas. Customer service portals that people are, hey, I need this problem or X, Y, or Z resolved. I'm sorry, I can't help with that, Dave. Like when all your computers just go boop and no people are around to actually answer fucking questions. This is what happens. Now, here's the other thing. I'm not talking about that. One of the things I read recently, and it was, of course, this is conjecture. This is just allegedly speaking. So I'm not saying this is true. I'm not saying that like it's gospel, but I'm saying that if it is, and I wouldn't necessarily put it past them to do it, it is a worrying trend for just the customer experience in general. Now, allegedly, Amazon had replaced 40% of the AWS support staff with AI controlled or AI, focused operations, bots, things like that, to kind of like help automate the processes and take the people out. Because, if you have to pay people, they need wages, but robots don't need money because they don't need to eat, they don't need clothes, they don't need housing. You can just do whatever you want to robots, apparently, to some people. This is just an allegation, hasn't been 100% confirmed, but it is kind of suspicious that there have been like quite a few layoffs through Amazon, and now like this ridiculous, just complete snafu where the internet just goes and just kind of drains out. The timing is at the very least, if it's coincidental, it does look a little shaky. I was reading an article about this that I got from a friend's Discord channel, and in the article, the person who wrote the article said that what we really need to do is focus on diversifying these types of cloud-based, web-based service providers and stuff like that. I'm like, what you need to do is make fewer of them, actually. You know what I mean? Make use of fewer of them. There are times and places where certain parts of automation are actually a good thing. And there are times and places where I think that AI can be a helpful tool and can provide results that do end up being profitable, not just in terms of money, but also in terms of efficacy, in terms of training time, in terms of maybe opening up people to do more creative, more innovative types of, either jobs or just to innovate within their own industries. There's an argument to be made for that. And I'm not going to deny that. Am I skeptical of it? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you'd have to be kind of stupid not to be, especially considering how quickly something that is automated, when it goes wrong, it takes way longer to fix and get back to working. If Bob, puts bolt A in hole B and it's supposed to go in hole C, you can always take Bob aside and be like, hey, Bob, you're fucking up. Put that in the right hole. And then Bob's fixed. You know what I mean? You've corrected Bob. But when something like this is automated, generally speaking, it tends to move at a much faster rate. So exponentially, it has the opportunity to fuck up way more stuff in a lot shorter time. And that's when it becomes inefficient. Because that's also when people get mad, because they're like, hey, if you didn't have your freaking robots running everything, I could have talked to a person. This could have been handled in just a couple of minutes. Now it's taking me the better part of a day or even longer. And you're costing me could be money. Maybe it's somebody who's trying to handle an online payment transaction that doesn't go through, and they're like, well, you didn't pay in time, so now you're getting assessed a fee. Well, it's not my fault that your internet shut down, and then you have to argue with them to get them to take it off, and they're going to act like it's a one-time courtesy, like they're doing you such a favor for basically sticking their hands in your pockets. But, I'm saying, like, it's really bizarre that we've accepted it. I was talking to my wife and a couple other friends about this over the last couple of weeks. I'm like, it's so crazy when we started thinking about the Disney Plus boycott and how we canceled ours. We're like, we're not doing this anymore. Once it runs out, it's out. And how people are doing the same thing with Xbox. We got our Xbox Ultimate until like basically in January, all this shit turns off. And we're like, you know what? Until you guys understand that you can't treat us this way, we're not going to pay you. Good luck finding other shit. That's why I was looking for Nintendo games instead. And Nintendo's not much better, because the way they're doing things with the Switch 2 is absolutely abysmal in my personal opinion. But at least they're not digging into your pockets as hard as Microsoft is and Xbox. And that's actually pretty sad and worrying, because if you've known me for any amount of time, you know that I've always been a huge proponent of not only Xbox, but more importantly of Xbox's Game Pass, because I felt that the Xbox ecosystem just offered a better overall value for the player per dollar. That is no longer the case, especially not with Xbox Ultimate. With Game Pass Ultimate, it's just not the case. But yeah, it's just really gotten to be, it's gotten away from us. And it's because we've allowed it to just entrench itself into so many aspects of our life, from the way that we order products to food, to the way we handle business, to the way we conduct interstate and international commerce, the way we interact with our banking structures and other informational structures. It's been so interwoven with everything that we do, that if it fails in one spot, then it quickly spirals out of control everywhere else. And once the damage is done, it's hard to undo. You know what I mean? And I don't mean that you can't like patch a system, or you know, you can't update your customers about X, Y, or Z thing, but then you got like the data breaches that keep happening. There's a new suit that I have to go and file, actually, because it was for, I want to say it was Amazon, but it may have been some other service. But yeah. You hear about these every year or so, like another data breach happens, and then like Google or Amazon or Xbox or PlayStation or, you know, Bank of America or whatever just ends up giving away hundreds of thousands of people's user information because they don't have a secure enough system. Or the other alternative is they're using a system that's so, like I said, it's so pervasive throughout all these different structures that it's easy to find a way to break through it, because you find like the weakest point and you go, oh, I can, if I bend this a little bit, I can get in through here. And then it makes it easier to figure out how to do it for bigger and larger and infinitely more troublesome entities should their information be compromised. But again, you know, just talking here. Nobody listens to me. Nobody listens to me. I will say that somebody probably did listen to me. Last week in the podcast, I incorrectly said that Venezuela was taking on migrants. And while that's not necessarily untrue, the point I was trying to make was El Salvador and Colombia had taken on detainees. That doesn't mean that Maduro isn't a piece of shit and that, I forgot her name already. The opposition leader from Venezuela, who just got the Nobel Peace Prize and then dedicated it to Donald Trump. She's actually kind of a weak sauce human being for that too. I just conflated the two together and I made a mistake. So I wanted to go ahead and put that out there before we get too much further through the podcast. Speaking of good old boy Trump, him and fucking Pete Kegsbreath, as I heard somebody call him, which I think is hilarious, Pete Kegsbreath, fired missiles into Camp Pendleton, California. Now this was happening during the time of the No Kings protests that were going on across the country, and across the world, actually. Some other countries were like doing the same protestations in their own municipalities and whatnot. But millions, I think they said the estimates are over 7 million people and 2,700 different non-conjoined events across just the United States alone came out to protest. And of course, baby hands and Kegsbreath are so upset about it that in order to reassert the manliness, let's shoot some missiles off, man. And then, some of the shrapnel from one of the explosions, I believe, as they said, actually flung out onto a highway. The highway had been cordoned off because it was going to be in the flight path of the missile, because that's at least some kind of brain working. But a chunk of the missile or a chunk of like some debris that it hit when it was being tested as a live fire exercise on American soil, I want to add, with this isn't like, you know, somebody shooting an M16 downrange. This is a fucking rocket. And it's near a civilian population too. Yeah, it's on a military base, but it's close enough to a civilian population that if this thing goes awry, we have a fucking problem. But it actually ended up hitting a police car. So, way to look out for the blue there, dumbasses. Good job for them. Thankfully, nobody was injured or killed, but, I mean, I guess a broken clock is right twice a day. Like, is that what we're going to lean on? Hey, man, I mean, nobody got hurt, but everything about this is stupid and wrong. And it's funny, I was actually stopping by our local vape shop. Well, it's not quite so local anymore since the closest one closed down. But I was going by the vape shop and I was talking to the guy that works there and the young lady that was there. And they just clocked my vibe and they were like, yeah, and another thing about all this Trump stuff. And I was like, oh, here we go. And the guy was like, it's just so weird how weirded out they are about, like, everybody's got to be a man. You got to be a big, strong man. We need manly men. We need our men to be, you know, hunky men. And, like, P-Hex is like, don't want no fat generals. And just like, it says a lot when you're so preoccupied about what goes on in someone else's pants or underneath their clothes. It says a lot more about you than you think it does. And I was like, you know, I've been saying this for years too. I'm sure you guys are probably sick of it by now. But the truth is that, you know, when we see just the evidence of things as they're presented to us, like all the crashes of Grindr every time a group of, you know, ultra-conservative, right-wing, nationalist, Christian fundamentalist people get together, the bizarre nature of the Epstein files and why they were going to be released until they weren't going to be released, and now suddenly they don't exist. And to, like, even the allegations about Speaker of the House Mike Johnson and his Grindr history that was out there for a little while. Now, again, like I said, those are allegations. I don't know that those are true or not. But when you put all these things together and then add them up with the way that they treat women, the way they talk to and about women, the way that they are very quick to use, especially, it's weird, Republican white women as like a battering ram, a shield, and also as toilet paper whenever it's convenient for them. And the interchangeable nature of those particular roles is happening so quickly and so fast that even they can't keep up with it. It says a lot about the leadership, and particularly the male leadership of that wing of the party, that probably, you know what I mean? Like, if you were such a tough guy, if you were such a manly dude, tough people don't got to call it out like that. You know what I mean? I think of the Hannibal Buress quote when he's talking to a police officer and the officer says, I'm just a cool guy trying to be cool, doing cool things. He said, cool motherfucker would never say shit like that. And I think it's funny that, like, you know, people are, they actually act like if I tell everybody how awesome I am, if I tell everybody how much of a man I am and how strong and smart I am, then they'll believe me. Please believe me. Like, no one believes you. We have eyes and ears too. Like, we see the shit you do. We hear the shit you say. We witness what's going on in our world. And no one with any real sense is fooled. You know what I mean? It would be funny if it weren't so fucking tragic. It probably would be funnier if it was happening to somebody else. But when it's happening to you, I get it. There's a bit of a sting to it. And then because there are the people who are going to fall for it. Yeah, you've got like this judge. I forget. I got to go find the name of this lady. So an appellate court judge allowed Trump to be able to send troops into Portland, basically saying that there was certain colorable ideology or certain colorable events that would allow the president to actually do this. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick. It's only take a second. And through the wonders of the pause buttons and the beauty of Reuters as a news agency, I'm getting a little bit more information about this. So it was a divided U.S. appeals court ruled that Donald Trump can send National Guard troops into Portland, despite what the city and state leaders say. You know, whatever the people in that particular area of the country, or any area really, now if you think about it, have to say, he can just decide it's fine, I can do whatever I want. It's a bizarre thing to even say that's happening right now. So it was an unsigned majority opinion, was joined by Circuit Judge Bridget Bade and Circuit Judge Ryan Nelson, who were both appointed by Trump in his first term. Little fucking surprise there, right? Says Nelson wrote a concurring opinion that stated that courts don't have an ability to review the president's decisions. Like, we don't even have the power to do that. Like, Bitch, you're the judiciary. You're one of the three supposedly co-equal branches of government. The entire reason you exist is to perform checks and balances on the other two branches of government. If not you, then who? If not you, then who are we supposed to... It's staggering. These are the preeminent legal minds of our time, and this is what they come up with? It's a dangerous time to be this dangerously stupid. And we have to stop electing these morons. We have to stop championing their causes. And when they come time for them to be voted out, replaced, whatever, we need to replace them with reasonable, rational people. I'm not even saying they all have to be Democrat. I'm not saying they all have to be Republican. I'm not saying they have to be whatever. Green Party, fucking your fight for your right to party. I don't give a fuck what they are. But we have to replace them with reasonable, logical human beings. Otherwise, we get this kind of boo-boo to fool shit coming out of the mouth of a circuit judge. I'm not a justice, but I know that what that person said is incorrect. Like, that's only because I went to, like, you know, my high school social studies classes and I learned about these branches of government that we exist under. And this guy is, you know what? It's enough to make you want to bite a motherfucker in the face. Like, it really is. I try to keep it together, but I'm telling you. And then, because, and then right alongside this, he gets these victories, he gets these wins. He finally gets the you know, basically the entirety almost of our government, all the structures of government in his pocket. And then he wants to file a $230 million suit against the Department of Justice because they investigated him in the past. Here's the funny thing about it. Most of the Department of Justice that's as it functions right now are Trump appointees or people who've been, you know, appointed by people who were appointed by Trump. So they didn't have anything to do with this. This is just a way of Trump stealing money from the American people. I want you to remember that when it comes time for midterms and especially when it comes time for elections. City, state, local, international, you know what I mean? All that shit. Not international, national elections, all that. Remember that this is them trying to steal from you and trying to lie directly to your face and tell you it's shit. You know, telling you it's Shinola when it's actually shit. That's the word, right? Couldn't tell shit from Shinola? Yeah. Anyway, you meant what I knew. They're going to keep lying to us as long as we allow them to. That's the biggest problem. And you need to talk to your people and be like, yo, you need to learn some stuff this week. Read a book or something, goddammit. Because then again, we had the same, like during that same conversation at the vape store, when the guy was talking about the Trump social media post. This is our president posting an AI video of him dropping actual human feces on No More Kings protesters. I don't know about y'all, but that's not my kind of president. I don't really care if you like the other side or not, but that is the action of like a junior high school bully on social media. You feel what I'm saying? And how this whole posturing about like, we're so tough, we're so cool, we're so smart, I put duty on your head. Really? Really? It's some preschooler shit, man. Like, babies act like this. Little children. Bro, I don't even think you could really do that for junior high school, man. The only time I seen something like that was in the movie Carrie, and that was a film. Babies act like this. This is something like a 7-year-old would do, a 6 or 7-year-old would do. And this is the president? This is your representative?
Okay, you're so smart. So super smart.
Fucking baby men. shit makes my butt itch. Anyway, if you got any comments or questions about the things I've said today, please, again, go and hit me up over on Patreon. I didn't mention it at the top of the podcast because I was having too much fun. Having way too much fun being mad at this idiot and the rest of his people. But yeah, please go and check me out over on Patreon. Links are in the description, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Let me know what you think. I'd love to hear from you guys as well. And that's how I was some video game stuff for a little bit. How about that? You know what? Before we go, we'll do games last. Let's go into some foosball because it's time for the Gridiron Gripes. Yeah, baby. I got to come up with a stinger for this. I can't use the NFL music because I don't want to get in trouble. I'm sure I could come up with something somewhere. Let's see here. Wow. I really shit the bed this week when it came to the picks. And it wasn't for lack of trying. You know what I mean? I had faith. I really wanted to see stuff happen. And I feel like, again, one of the things that's happening for at least two of my teams is that they get themselves whipped by their own inability to stop snagging penalties. Now, I didn't get to watch the Steelers-Bengals game, but that one was a tight one. I did predict the Steelers to win this one, and they were close. Score ends up being 31-33 for the Bengals. Good for them, you know. They aren't great, and I don't think they're going to be great. But I just was kind of surprised that they were going to beat the Steelers. I thought that, you know, the Bengals were soft enough that the Steelers would have no problem putting them to bed. Well, it looks like the boys are giving them a hell of a way to go. I think the Bengals were just like, hey, man, what is going on here today? They're like, they're sick with this season, and they're just like, you know what? Everybody's going to get got. So they just wheeled around and bit the next person that was in line, and it just so happened to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know what they did to provoke them, and I really wish I could have seen the game. But for the 3-4 Bengals, that's actually, I mean, a little bit of a come up for them to take out the Steelers. And then, of course, we go to our favorite, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who walk up into the Rams in a comedy of errors. Let me put it this way. You can't beat the refs. You'll never beat the refs. And like the Jaguars getting slapped around last week wasn't any indication as to just how much it can cost you. You should go and check back. But this last game, there were so many egregiously bad calls. So I'm just going to go from the third quarter. I'm just going to go right from the third quarter. All right. In the third quarter, there's a shoulder pad grab called on Jacksonville. It's called as holding. Now, last I checked, you're allowed to grab somebody by the body or by the shoulder pads, not by the helmet, not by the collar, not by the jersey, not by the pants. So this dude had a handful of this dude's shoulder pads, and they called it holding, which cost Jacksonville. It cost him a first down, and you know, I think it was like 5 yards or something like that. But it ended up giving a first down over to the Rams, who, by the way, were not necessarily a superior team. They were just literally just getting Jacksonville on ticky-tack fouls, penalties and shit like that. And I will say this, Jacksonville doesn't do themselves any favors by having butterfingers on their receivers. That has to stop. It's like one week they're amazing, pulling one-handed catches, snagging pick sixes off of the offense that they're up against. And then there's this. Then this past week, just dropped balls, missed passes. It's difficult to put all the blame on any one person, but I'm gonna point out something in a little bit that I've noticed recently. Also in the third quarter, Olokun's getting an illegal contact after bumping into somebody. He gets an illegal contact call after a shoulder bump when he's basically falling forward. There's been a lot of this lately, and I've seen it happen to the Jaguars. I've seen it happen to the Eagles, I believe, last week. Chicago gets it every now and again, too, where if somebody's heading forward or falling forward and they accidentally touch another player that's supposedly not actionable at that moment, whether it's a quarterback or if they're like outside of a certain zone or whatever, they get called with the foul for gravity happening. It happened last year when Trevor Lawrence got jabbed in the head because he tried to slide too late, and he got basically speared by a player who was in midair. I've seen the video a dozen times. If I've seen it once, dude was flying through the air and would have hit Trevor Lawrence right in the bread basket. Except for Trevor took a dive too late and he caught one to the face. Trevor even said later afterwards, he's like, hey man, that was actually on me because I should have taken to the ground sooner. It got his bell rung, but he remembered that shit. And so that's why you see him either going standing up straight and shoulder charging in, or he hits the ground real quick or gets out of bounds. He remembered that shit from last year. And I'm sick of the league pulling this shit where they go like, well, I mean, he touched him. And I looked like he was breathing hard afterwards,
So he touched the quarterback. The quarterback was breathing hard. So, yeah, roughing the passer. We're going to make that a 15-yard penalty. And then automatic first down. Like, what?
How much money do these refs, the refs in the NFL, remind me of politicians? If they paid the refs more, they wouldn't be so easily susceptible to bribes. You can't tell me that the refs don't get bribed. We've already heard about it through baseball. We've heard about it through the NBA. I guarantee it happens through the NFL. I guarantee it. But then there's also a missed interference call on the punt to Jacksonville. They're taking a punt. I'm trying to remember the exact moment. Jacksonville's to receive this punt. And as they're going through, dude just basically gets waylaid trying to pull this pass, trying to catch this punt. And I'm like, you know, if this was... If this was the you know, like, let's say, like, if this is a 2000, if this is a 2010 Pats, if this was the just the Chiefs from year before last, like, they're going to make this person, they're going to make sure the other team gets the ball at the 50 fucking yard line. But because it's Jacksonville, screw them, right? Sure, of course, why not? And I've seen it happen to other teams, too. And then don't think it's just a fan thing. Don't think it's just because it's Jacksonville and I'm a fan of them. I've seen it happen to other teams too, and it pisses me off as well. Because the one thing I remember was football used to be a contact sport. It used to be. I used to play football. Even when I wasn't on my school's team, I would play football with my friends. And they'd be like, we want to play touch football? They're like, touch? Bro, we're either playing flag football, so you have to be faster than the other person, or you're going to get trucked. Touch football. Shut up. We were kids. We weren't getting paid, and we still played football like grown men. So what this new shit is, I don't know, but it's not the NFL that I recognize. And I would wager to say that even with all these different new rules and stuff, they've actually made the game way more, way less intense, but way more dangerous. Because the players don't have to do X, Y, or Z to run and do this. They don't have to do X, Y, or Z to actually be inside the goal, the boundaries of the goal, you know, the goal, yeah. Why am I losing my mind? But, you know, to make a touchdown, you just got to wave the ball over it. You're giving people reasons to be sloppy and lazy, which means that they don't work as hard to be accurate and to be good. So when they're sloppy and lazy, as we were just talking about, when people get lazy, things get sloppy. When things get sloppy, things get broken. When things get broken, people get in trouble. And that's what's happening. You're seeing all these extra injuries that are happening. You know, every three or four plays, somebody's injured being walked off the field. Somebody's hurt being walked off the field. Somebody's being put off the field. I mean, God damn it. People are getting career-ending injuries because everybody's all gassed up the whole damn game. It's not enough that some of these dudes are probably on, I can't say for sure, allegedly, some of them may be on performance-enhancing drugs. Some of them might just be taking some guarana and caffeine to give them a little bit of extra through the game. Maybe they're on coke. Who knows? But when you're so gassed up after four quarters of play, literally an hour plus of hard running up and down the field, getting slammed into by other dudes, thrown on your back, you know, shoulder charged in the gut, and you're still ramped up enough to be able to put somebody on their ass, at, you know, 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, something's wrong with the game. It's fundamentally wrong. It's not safe anymore. You can put all the big old goofy-ass helmet pads on you want, but if somebody who's 6'4", 320 pounds runs through you, you're gonna feel it. If they have to run up and down the entire length of the field after, you know, a punt, it's gonna wear them out. They're gonna be tired by the end of the game. I'm just saying. And in unfortunate news, although I couldn't get a chance to watch this game because, you know, of course, in another much aggrieved lament of mine, YouTube and Sunday Ticket have taken over again. And even though everybody was having, they were having to basically give it away by the end of the season because nobody wanted to pay their exorbitant prices, they still went ahead and did it again this year. So they put games on YouTube for NFL Sunday Ticket. And, they can eat my butt, but I'll tell you what, I was really happy to see that the Chicago Bears took down the New Orleans Saints 26-14. Bear down, Chicago Bears. I'm proud of you guys. Thanks for not giving up and making me feel like
It's good to be home, man. It's good to be home.
But yeah, it was a game that I would have loved to have watched. I think it was my nephew actually was at the game. So good for you, nephew. Thanks for sending the photos. My sister was at one of the previous games this season. So shout outs to you too. Excuse me. Goodness. But yeah, it was a game that I really wished I could have seen. And I'm really getting over that too. I guess it's unfortunate because how much more fucking money do you need, right? As much as they can get, I guess, as much as they can take, which I guess is one thing, but still, it sucks. And I'm telling you, when we were talking about earlier, like Jacksonville getting a bad rash of, you know, just X, Y, and Z from the refs, Jacksonville has the worst fans. I was talking to a friend of mine and they were like, you know, Trevor Lawrence is messing up and this, that, and the other. I'm like, Trevor Lawrence is doing better this year than he had in the last 2 years. What are you talking about? Under his leadership, they won more games. He's throwing better and more accurate passes. He's getting out and actually opening up lanes with his feet instead of just, you know, staying in the pocket and getting sacked every time. He's learning to scramble. He's learning to lead with his shoulder. You know, he's learning to use his arm and his leg in conjunction with one another. I mean, and he's with a new coach. Again, the team's been shifted around. They've had three different coaches over the last 5 years, at least. So there's no consistency with the Jaguars. And they're like, I think one of the arguments was that he's not consistent. I'm like, nothing. He's the most consistent thing about the team in the last 5 years, pretty much. Because he's the one that's been there. He is the most consistent thing probably about the entire Jacksonville Jaguars organization, with the exception of Shaq Khan, which, you know, whatever, 6-1 doesn't the other. I give a shit about that guy. I'm not going to carry water for a fucking billionaire who also wants to support a protest, not supporting a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk at the beginning of a football game. No. 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 He wasn't a statesman, he wasn't a politician, he wasn't a general, he wasn't a police officer, he's a podcaster. And he spent his time going to colleges as a grown-ass man so he could argue with teenagers. So, he could say what he wanted to say, as First Amendment rights and all that shit, I could say what I wanted to. That's kind of some punk-ass shit to do right there. I'm 47, you know what I'm not doing? Going to my local high school and arguing with teenagers about politics. I talk to adults because I want to have adult conversations. You went to a institution of higher learning, not so you could, you know, debate people and have open debate, so you could propagandize and so you could recruit. I'm going to call it what it is. You don't like it? Sorry. It's just the truth. But anyway. Back to the football. Jacksonville Jaguars fans, some of the worst in the league, if not the worst, in my personal opinion. Some of the worst fans in NFL, all the NFL. They're super fair weather, and then when things are going great, they're super fans. As soon as things go badly, they can't wait to shit on the Jaguars. They never give them the benefit of the doubt. They always try to blame everybody else except looking at, you know, and then they, well, I'm sorry. They try to blame everybody else and take exception with you saying that, hey, there could be other factors that could, you know, play into this. They're like, nope, they're just terrible. They're the worst. I'm like, you know what? Then just don't watch. Don't watch. Don't go to the games. Don't buy the shit. Don't talk to me about it. I don't want to hear your fucking problems because you're not going to be objective about this. I know that you should love your team. You should support them, but you should also be honest about what's going on there too. And the Jaguars are not nearly as bad as they're given the rash of shit that they are. If I was Shaq Khan, I would sell the team to London and be done with it. This is what you get, Jacksonville. You don't know how to appreciate shit? Nothing for you. Fuck you. We're out. That is just me, though. Anyway. Acidophilus report. Better this week. What I did notice is if I have leafy green vegetables, it's doing something to my stomach. And I think it's most of what I'm going to say here is going to be a little... It's going to be a lot conjecture. Probably be a little controversial. I think that since we've started running away, all of the, I don't know, unskilled, unpaid, undocumented labor that knew how to pick the right fruits and vegetables, it's been fucking me up, man. Like, I don't even want to buy fruit and vegetables from like a local grocery store. I want to go down the street to the carniceria where I'm like, hey man, at least I know the people who picked this shit. Mexicans, my people, they went and picked that shit and they know exactly which ones to take, which ones to leave. Like Ralphie May said, I know which ones, we know which ones, we don't know which ones. We haven't created a machine that knows which tomato to pick and which one to leave on the vine. The machine we invented was Mexicans and they're perfect. I'm going to leave a link to that. I wasn't going to leave a link to anything this week, but I'm going to leave a link to Ralphie May's thing about, I think it's called $97 salad. So you guys, if you haven't seen it, you need to watch it. And if you know somebody who's someone of these racist dickheads who wants to just deport everybody, let them think about that for a little bit. Ralphie May, rest in peace. Appreciate you, homie. But yeah, man, outside of that, this stuff has been working. I noticed it's an insane appetite suppressant. And I've noticed it also, it's kind of like helped change the way that I eat. So I have like one large meal usually around like, you know, 6 or 7 for dinner. Or I have like something really light for the morning for breakfast and then something like medium sized for dinner. But then if I don't eat, I don't even have a really large meal, honestly, at dinner. But when I do eat, I notice I eat less. I feel more full. And if I do get a rumble in my stomach, it's almost always when I'm eating leafy green vegetables. It's so weird. I had spinach with my salad wraps that I had last Sunday for football. Got sick. I had spinach on a sandwich the next day. Got sick. I had lettuce on a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Sue me, whatever. Because I just wanted something quick and easy to eat. I had lettuce on that. Got sick. I had spinach last night. It canned spinach, too. Like steamed canned spinach. And while it didn't activate right away, it didn't wait all night to start kicking up. And then when I woke up this morning, it was only because I had managed to take acid relievers before I got in bed that I wasn't on fire this morning. So yeah, something about leafy greens, dude. And it's sad because I love spinach. Really have grown to love cabbage a lot more. I adore collard greens. I make collard greens. I put them on the stove. The last time I made them fresh, it took me like 10 hours to batch them all the way down to get them done right. And then like another 4 or 5 to let them sit because I had to simmer them overnight. But even if I buy a canned batch, you know what I mean? I put them on the stove. I let them joints sit on the stove for like 6 to 8 hours. I'll start collard greens first thing in the morning when I get up. So they're ready by dinner time. They're nice and soft and tender, not crunchy and hard. Even those are starting to mess me up, man. I like my vegetables and it just, I'm sick of just only being able to eat like carrots and celery and ugh, it's heartbreaking. But this medicine is helping with everything else overall because I knew something was different when I ate just the one chicken sandwich with nothing on it, just chicken, cheese, and bread. My stomach was fine until dinner time when I had like the steamed spinach. I'm like, ah! Anyway, but we'll see. We'll keep it going. I still have like another week and a half of this medication to go. It's not a medication, it's a supplement. I keep calling it medicine just because it keeps me in the mindset of take it every day. But this supplement I'm using, and then I need to pick up another batch of it because I need to pick up like the 90-day supply. Something about it, when you buy it online from their website, it's like 30% cheaper to buy like 3 months of the stuff because they discount it. And it's an actual legitimate discount. It's not like, oh, we took 10% off. That's the sales tax, ho. They're like, no, it's like 30% cheaper if you buy like 3 of these at once. I'm like, you gotta tell me twice. As much as they've been helping my stomach, I'm in. So yeah, super excited about that. Oh, you know what I forgot? I was going to mention this too, because I write some notes and stuff like that. I was listening to a podcast recently. I know like y'all be like, hey man, no, don't drink on the mic. I'm like, I could probably deal with somebody drinking, like not on the mic, but near the mic. What I really hate is people eating on the microphone. I hate the sound of somebody slurping and smacking their lips or sucking their fingers into a microphone. I knew this one dude who used to chew and he would Like, he would actually make that sound while he was eating. And I almost stabbed him with the fork once. Because I'm like, can you shut your fucking mouth? Like, dude, no one wants to see down your gullet while you're eating. Also, it's annoying, it's rude, and it's infuriating. It makes me want to bite you. But yeah, eating on the mic, but aside from that, what I was going to say is I saw this one story I wanted to laugh at. Not laugh at, but laugh at the fact that they were just making this. They're trying to act like, we don't know what happened. So this representative from Texas, Tony Gonzalez, had an affair with one of his staffers. Who later, after the affair came to light, allegedly, now this is what I say allegedly again, we don't know for sure, because she's not allowed to ask, poured gasoline on herself and set herself on fire. Word. Word. She pulled herself her own little Tiananmen Square and just set herself on fire over this dude? Nah. Nah, fam. I'ma call bullshit on that one. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying I don't believe that happened. You know what I mean? Like, when women are about to go and unsubscribe from life, generally speaking, they either take a much less fantastically painful way of doing it, and usually a much more, a much less aggressive means of doing it. You know, like, they'll take a handful of sleeping pills, or, you know, overload on some painkillers, or, you know, razor to the wrist in the bathtub kind of shit. It's almost never, let me set myself on fire so I can go running around and burn everything down around me. Usually not the move. This feels like somebody got her, and I hate that, but I was just like, it's Texas too, and I don't trust Texas at all. I think Texas is one of those things, we just need to give it back to Mexico and let them have it. It was theirs in the first place. That would be one of my moves. And this is Mexico now. It's the Gulf of Mexico, and now Texas is also Mexico, and so is New Mexico, and Arizona, and Utah, and the lower quarter of California. Have all that. You're more than welcome to it. We weren't using it really anyway. You know what I mean? Anyway, I'm just being goofy right now. Oh, God. Okay, let's talk about it. I'm going to put my picks here in a little bit. Chicago's going up against the Baltimore Ravens. Let's see, what's the line on Baltimore? 6.5. Baltimore getting -6.5. I don't know what the fuck that means. I'm going to learn about how this sports gambling shit goes one of these years. I'm going to say Chicago eats the Ravens. I'm going to give them the dub. And then it's Green Bay versus Pittsburgh as well. Those are both on Sunday. Thankfully, those games are not airing at the same time, so I might get to see one or the other. I don't know. That's a tight one. I'm gonna go with Pittsburgh, just because I want them to win. I don't know that they're gonna. Green Bay's 4-1-1, and I think that Pittsburgh might. I mean, I hit the wrong button there. Sorry about that. You're gonna hear a little clicky clack in the background. But that's because I tapped the wrong key when I was doing my stuff. I mean, I think Pittsburgh might. I mean, they could probably hold them at 4-2. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to hold on for another year, but, you know, I guess we'll find out. But I'm going to go with Pittsburgh just to err on the side of caution. Jacksonville has a bye week this week, which they definitely deserve after getting shit on by referees for 2 games in a row. I hope that the guys come back and rest up and stomp on everybody in fantastic fashion. Yeah, that should work. And let's cap it off with some more lighthearted stuff. Okay, so first of all, I have started doing commissions. And if you're interested, you can message me at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. And just make a commission, the subject line of your email. Know this, I'm not doing NSFW commissions. So if you're looking for some nudie stuff or some porny stuff, I'm not doing that. I'm not saying I can't make something sexy, but I'm not going to do anything overtly sexual or nudity or anything like that. I'm also not doing any furry shit. No furries, no fursonas, none of your animal anthropomorphic stuff. Like, look. I don't mind anthropomorphizing certain things. You know what I mean? I played I've played more than my fair share of role-playing games over the years, right? It's just certain shit that I'm not comfortable with. I don't give a shit if you do it. That's fine. You do your business. I just don't want to do it myself. Okay? That's all I'm saying. But to that end, I started working on a commission. I've been working on it bit by bit, but I started digging into this commission that I'm doing for a friend and who's now become a client. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. But man, digital brushes are fucking tough. How people are able to use them, I know. There's a lot of skill and everything that's involved in it. I definitely need to do some fine tuning for some of the digital brushes that I have or download different ones. But fuck, man, it probably wouldn't hurt to have like a more powerful PC as well. Because occasionally, because my PC is kind of old, my program will freeze up for a moment. And then before I know it, I've just janked up an entire line. But man, digital brushes are rough. I'm thinking I actually might end up going back to just doing traditional pencil and ink for commissions. And then having those pencil and ink commissions scanned and then colored if I'm going to do color. Or just sending out the original or print or something like that. I don't fucking know. All I know is that every time I try to work with like the digital brushes, I get weird grainy results. And that's even with using like anti-aliasing and smoothing and stuff like that. Like it just doesn't have the same feel, dude. Like I'm trying because I have the thing and I want to learn how to use it and do the stuff. I'm actually thinking I might just go back to just drawing everything by hand and then using the Cintiq and the computer programs strictly for coloring and for layout, you know, for like, you know, lettering and stuff like that. I just feel like it just, I don't know. Maybe it's just how, I don't know what it is. There's still a detachment there. Even though I can actively see what I'm drawing, there's still a detachment that exists with this digital interface. And maybe it's just a matter of practice, which I'm not going to give up on, but I do need to, you know, be able to move faster on the workflow. So it may end up being like migrate back towards pencil and ink instead, which I'm not going to hear a whole lot of complaints about. Like I've been doing pencil and ink since I was a child. So I've got plenty enough time and ability to do it. I might, if I get this thing done and I get permission from the client, I may actually post it with a watermark on the Patreon page just so y'all can see what I'm working on. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. I'm not excited about the way Game Pass is going. We've already talked about that. I am kind of curious about switching back over to Nintendo, especially because there's been a resurgence of turn-based role-playing games that I really like. One of them is Phantasia Neo Dimension, which is not new, but it's one that I want. And I cannot seem to find a physical copy of this thing for the Nintendo Switch anywhere. So if you find a link to one that's a physical copy that's like real and legit, I would love to get one. I don't really care for digital downloads. I'd rather have it in my actual physical library. And the same thing goes for Monster Hunter Stories. There's a new double edition. It's like Monster Hunter Stories 1 and 2. And then the upcoming 3 is on the way. And then Triangle Strategy, which so Best Buy occasionally, if you're like, you know, if you have a account with Best Buy, they sometimes will give you like, oh, you spent this much money. Here's like $5 on something. So I have a $15 gift, like basically voucher off a purchase. I might just order Triangle Strategy through their website and have them ship it to the crib. Because I really want to play that game. But I also have like a bunch of Square Enix games in the first place. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. I've got enough Square Enix shit that if I really decided to dedicate to an RPG series, I could do it for like at least 3 years straight. And, I mean, if I did it and I played a game every 3 months and finished a game every 3 months, I'd never play the same game twice for 3 years. So, we'll see how that goes. We'll see. If you got any questions or thoughts about that, let me know by messaging me over on patreon.com/wandering1studios, like I said, patreon.com/wandering1studios. And physical media, man, we need a bigger push for that. I'm sincere. If you find physical media that I can get for my Nintendo Switch, I want it. Send me an accurate, dedicated link. I would like to see those. Because digital media is basically theft. You're only leasing that thing. Once they decide they're not going to support it or they don't want to bother updating it or whatever, the shit's gone. And you're stuck ass out without anything to show for it. So just remember that. You don't own anything that you get digitally. You're basically just renting it. You never bought anything that you got digitally, which is unfortunate to have to tell people, but it's true. And then last little point. We'll close it off on this. I like science fiction movies. And with my friends in my Discord, we're doing this thing. We're doing like a creature feature thing where we'll watch like a scary movie, but it's basically based around like a beast of some kind of origin, right? And they all pick, like I said the other day, it was like I was kind of bitching and moaning about it, but I mean, it was what they wanted to see, so I don't give a shit. It was great. We had a fun time watching Starship Troopers, which is a bona fide sci-fi classic. You don't believe me, fight me. I don't give a shit. But then I did a bonus movie night where we watched the movie Alien Director's Cut Edition. And I'm going to tell you guys something that you don't hear often enough. And you no matter how much you hear it, you need to hear it more. Especially when it comes to science fiction or horror movies. Listen to the black people and the white women. Especially the smart white women. They know what the fuck they're talking about. So there's a science officer in the film, Alien, who's supposed to be, I think, like their xenobiologist, right? Supposed to discover new life and figure it out. And she gets down onto the surface of the planet. She sees the eggs and she's like, we need to get the hell out of here. She's the smartest one. She ends up dying anyway. Spoiler alert for a nearly 40-year-old movie. But yeah, if they listened to her, they would all still be alive. And then Yaphet Kotto's character, I forget his name, but the black characters and the women characters are like talking sense to people like, hey man, we should get the fuck out. And they're like, well, let's just explore a little further. Ah, ooh, ah! It's like, yeah, the reason you're dead is because you're stupid. If you'd listen to them, you'd be alive. So stop making these stupid ass tropes about like, oh, the black guy dies first. Now the black guy wouldn't be there. I'm about to see if I can find that video too. There's a brilliant video about how certain movies just wouldn't exist if they had like an all black cast. Like there'd just be no way they would exist. It's by a group called RDC World. I think RDC World 1 on YouTube. Those guys are hilarious. And this video is about basically how like some of your favorite horror movie franchises wouldn't have made it past the first like 5 minutes if it was all black folks. And it's a fucking treat. If you've never seen it, you're gonna. But right now, I'm going to get out of here. It's time for me to get situated. I'm going to stream today, and I'm going to make sure I get this podcast up before it gets too much later in the day, because I've been running around like a crazy man. But thank you guys for another wonderful episode of the Wandering One podcast. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, share it with people that you can. Share it with people that you can. Share it with people that you don't like. You know what? Share it with... here's a good one. Share it with your best friend's partner. Get them to listen to it. Like, if your best friend won't listen to you, share it with their partner and get them to listen to it. And be like, yeah, so-and-so told me about, like, the Wandering One podcast. I thought they really liked it. And they'd be like, what? I'm like, yeah, I thought maybe, like, we'd get together and talk about it afterwards, It's like, oh, I see what you're doing. Yeah, all right. So if you got a friend or whatever who's not listening to the podcast, get their boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, whatever, into the podcast. Don't cause any dissension, but definitely make sure that you make a little bit of waves there and be like, oh, so you don't like listening to excellent intellectual commentary delivered with a slight comedic bent? How sad for you. Maybe Juliet and I should listen to it tomorrow over a glass of wine. All right, that was a lot, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, I got to get out of here. I love you guys. Catch me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/linkib. And of course, you can see me here every week around Wednesday, usually Wednesday, Thursday. And on every platform that you can get your podcasts on that I can get my hands on, I'll try to get there. And I'm getting out of here. Love you guys. Mean it. And catch you a little further down the road, man. Peace.